on our last session about the importance of faith, and I talked to you about infirmities. Tonight I want to talk to you about foolishness. Faith, foolishness, and finished work. Faith cannot agree with your natural senses. Your intellect, being logical, being rational, and being sensical would not work with faith, because faith has a certain element of foolishness in it compared to the intellect and to the logic. So we're going to talk about tonight the foolishness of faith. You got to be willing to walk in places that does not seem like it's proper, or that you have the support you need. We walk by faith, not by sight. So I want to, what we're going to do in this class is to share with you on the intellectual foolishness of faith. In other words, to the intellect, faith is foolish. You will be able to see in very logical terms how foolish faith is. All right? But very interesting to know, the foolishness of faith is the winning ticket in the race of life. The foolishness of faith is the winning ticket in the race of life. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, always write your scripture down, that he's not ashamed of the gospel. This is because some of its demand a thing you could be ashamed of if they make you appear like you are not rational to the natural man. See, that's what happened. Faith is not rational to the internet or intellect. You understand? Faith is walking sometime in midair, but knowing you have a solid concrete of Jesus Christ under you. All right, now listen very carefully. Romans 1:16, you got that. Your ministry will not be rational to the natural man. You got to be willing to step out when God tells you to step out. I stepped out here in Darrow. God telling me we're going to send people from all over the world and end up with this ministry, completely paid for, 600 acres of land. That's the foolishness of faith. You might have followed now. All right, now, let me give you this again. But very interestingly, too, the foolishness of faith is the winning ticket in the race of life. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16 that he is not ashamed of the gospel. It's because some of its demands are things you would be ashamed of, as they make you appear like you are not rational to the natural man. And in class, you have to read now. I want you to go and do your homework in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul will give us an aspect of the foolishness of faith. But then he let us know that to operate in spiritual things, you're going to have faith, because faith is not talking to the natural man, and the things of the spirit is not talking to the natural man. And you will see it over there. So I'm going to read this again. This is because of its demand of things you could be ashamed of if they make you appear like you are not rational to the natural man. But Paul said he's not ashamed of it. For inside that foolishness lies the power of God that is able to deliver a result. Inside that foolishness in faith lies the power of God that is able to deliver a result. So it's important in ministry that you always understand that you're embracing faith. Always embrace faith. An understanding of the foolishness of faith will help you to embrace faith with a sense of confidence in every injunction of Scripture. And notice what he said. This is because faith doesn't have to be rational when placed on one's own scale of judgment. Think of the Scripture injunction in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs now, chapter 11, verse 24. This don't make sense. Look at it. Don't make sense. And it'll show you that time, this voice will show you at time when you're using faith, others will laugh at you. Even other ministries will laugh at you. They laughed at me and played game. But all the laugh turned to a smile, then it turned to seriousness over the years. In Proverbs 11:24, it don't even make sense yet. It sounds like foolishness. There's that scatter it and yet increase it. And there's that withhold it more than meat, but it tended to poverty. Now, naturally, you think the person who putting the stuff in the barn and holding it or locking it down is the one that increased. But see, faith works a different way. Faith is a divine trust in God to do supernatural things on your behalf that you can't explain. I hope you got that, because it ain't a book. And I can't say it no more. It's a divine plan from God to produce the supernatural that you can't explain. I had to write that down myself. Faith is a divine plan from God. Or what the rest I said? That produces supernatural. Produce a supernatural that you can't explain. Class, I'm going to read this off to you because this came out of my spirit. Faith is a divine plan from God that produces the supernatural that can't be explained. And that's where a natural man or a natural group or a natural organization will call you foolish. I've had all of them call me foolish. They thought, you know, I'm talking about money coming. Where he come from? But it came from God in a supermarket. That's foolish too, isn't it? All right. Now, that sound, is it that there's someone that is increasing when he's losing? And then there's another one that is keeping what he has, and he's the one losing. That certainly is not sound arithmetic, but it's faith. Look at it. I have five things, and I give away three. It shouldn't remain plus five. It should remain minus what I have given away. But the foolishness of faith, get it? The foolishness of faith, what happened to my phone? Yeah, I'm looking at that. The foolishness of faith. The foolishness of faith recommends that you believe that when you are scattering, you are increasing. But when you are withholding, you are decreasing. Now, look, class, I learned this from a man called Fred Price. I saw the life he was living. He driving a Rolls Royce. He was dressed nice. He was a holy man. And I watched him in a large camp meeting, and I picked up from him about scattering, about giving, and today I live just like he lived. Today I drive a Rolls Royce, got two Rolls Royce, had three. It's just powerful. But those are just sideline journeys for ministry. You see, you can't make the sideline the major. I'm going to talk to you from ministerial experience. You can't begin, class, I want you to understand this. You can't begin to look at the stuff first. See what the man or woman is made out of. When the Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings 10 came to visit Solomon, she had heard a lot about him, but she saw all the stuff, but she was there to ask him questions to find out what his wisdom was. And at the same token, she was willing to sow in him the largest seed that ever been sown after he told her what he told her. That 1 Kings 10 is very important for you to read. We cannot go after the stuff. We got to go after the wisdom. But the foolishness of faith, I repeat, class, recommend that you believe that when you are scattering, you are increasing. But when you're withholding, you're decreasing. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Ain't got no chapter 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Look at this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greek foolishness. See, stumbling block, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because, class, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So most of the demand of Scripture can scarcely be classified as rational. But inside these seemingly irrational demands lie the power of God that delivers results to the believer. Inside these seemingly irrational instruction lies the power of God that, listen, you never heard it before, decorates your destiny. Decorate your destiny in that foolishness. All right? Here's another foolish thing. Seem foolish. Five loaves feed 5,000. 5,000 people sat down, and Jesus said to the disciples, without any pre-plan or preparation, give them to eat. Now, they got shook up, but he's going to develop their faith in the area that we need to be developing. They asked him, where do we get anything that can feed this crowd of people in this desert? John 6:6. Very powerful. John 6:6, very powerful, because I want to put an imprint on you for some difficulties, some situation that your faith has to be set in to grow. All right? If you don't know, you can't grow. Look what it says. And this said he to prove them. And this said he to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, class, the statement for he himself knew what he would do, that's a faith statement. See, you got to have that statement with you. You always must know what to do by following the faith of God. Jesus knew that if one could only believe, all things are possible. Then he asked them, what do you have there? They said, nothing. But there was a lad here that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, let me have that. So look what he did. He instructed that they make the people sit down in 50s, adding, they're going to eat right now. Listen now. Look what he did. And sometimes you're going to have to do this in your ministry. I've done it. I remember one time the insurance company canceled all the insurance on all our calls, ministry calls. So what are we going to do? Didn't have no insurance. So I had to lease cars, go rent some cars to drive until my fate got it straight. He then lifts it up, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to heaven, and gave thanks with faith reflection. Now listen, from Psalm 67. Get this, Psalm 67, verses 5-7, faith reflection. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth, as a secret, yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all of the end of the earth shall fear him. As he gives thanks, class, the heaven opened, and they were all fed to the fear with 12 baskets of food gathered as leftover. It was more than enough to the operation, listen, to the operation of the foolishness of faith. Do you know, sometimes you got to use your imagination when you're studying the scripture. That 5,000 people look at it and saw Jesus with them 5 loaves and say, this man is a plumb lunatic. Sometime in ministry, they're going to have to look at you as a plumb lunatic. I've been looked at as a lunatic. In this city of Darrow, there was nothing. It got subdivision now. It got stores built, restaurants built, and they're flourishing. And we know why they're flourishing, because God took their role over and put a spirit over the city. But a lot of time they looked at me as I was foolish. I was down in a little church in Darrow, and I was preaching big stuff. And God heard me, and God made it possible. So I tell you, don't never be discouraged. Just be a fool for Christ. When things are not working, the natural tendency is to react negatively. Negatively. It's not working. It's not going well. But the scripture demand is. I want you to look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Because you're operating in the unlimited power of the foolishness of faith. The unlimited power of the foolishness of faith in your ministry. Get that. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Now, class, I don't want y'all sitting because we're viral and don't do what I tell you to do. Follow me, because I'm trying to implant, impart, impress, input in you substance that I know that works. Like I said, I got experience and evidence. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive oil shall fail. Look at that, three failures. And the field shall yield no meat. Four. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Five. There shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, how can you do that? It's only by faith. See, crazy, wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say? That's fanatical. Someone stole your money and you giving thanks. But then, in no time, the same people pitting you, pitting your foolishness, will soon line up at your door waiting for help. That's the foolishness of faith. That's the foolishness of faith. See? Because in this area, class, I'm just going to say it, I'm bragging on God, this is the most wealthy ministry. During the pandemic, all of my employees are still working. They never miss a check. Because God is the source and the supply through the foolishness of faith. Now, not only the story of the 5,000 fed with five loaves, let's go over now to see the foolishness of faith, Lazarus raised from the dead. Now, imagine Jesus. They came and told him that his friend Lazarus was dead. Remember that? 11th chapter of John. He got there and said, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Yes, God won't hear you until you thank him. Remember that. People will see this as a foolishness, because naturally you don't say thank you until somebody have done something for you or given you something. But the instruction of the scripture is clear. Philippians 4:6. See, now, powerful lesson, your class, because now I'm teaching you about thanksgiving, how to be thankful, powerful, powerful. That you need to be thankful at all times. When things going good, be thankful. When things going bad, be thankful. Always be thankful. Now watch what happened here. My boy dead, and Jesus said, Father, I thank you. People will see this as foolishness, because naturally they don't say thank you until someone has done something for you or given you something. But the instruction, scripture is clear. Now here's Philippians 4:6, where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. The next part of that verse said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to tell you what to think about at all times. Whatsoever pure, whatever just, whatsoever is a good report, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of faith. This is foolishness. Yes. In the kingdom, you have to thank the Father before he hears you. Got it? If anything negative happened and you don't thank him, it will, class, my goodness, it will be negative raised to the second power. See, when things not going right in ministry, the natural thing to do is panic and go tell everybody your business. Now, I never asked anybody for nothing. I never told nobody when we were going through low time and looked like things wasn't going to work. Because if I had, I would have violated God's faithfulness. And sometimes we talk too much when we're going through something. We got to stop all that talking. I'm going to go 10 more minutes. You dare murmur against him, you're finished. But it's not so in the world where when you murmur, you secure people's sympathy. You don't want no sympathy. You can either have, listen very carefully, in time of adversity in your ministry, you can have sympathy or you can have supply. Are you hearing me? Now I'm talking from experience and I'm talking from evidence. And I'm talking from revelation, and I'm talking from the foolishness of faith. So there. Now let's turn. Here's another aspect of the foolishness of faith: water turning to wine. This is the most asinine thing. When Mary told him, "Do whatever he said, do," then he gives the asinine instruction, the foolish instruction. They need wine. He told them, "Pour water in the barrel." You got to understand that. That's going to happen in your ministry. That have happened to me thousands of times. God told me to do things. You know, I've owned four jets. I'm telling you this for you to recognize that the football world and the basketball world and the movie star world is not above God. That in ministry, God wants you blessed. That's all I'm telling you that about. Not to brag. It's not about Leroy. Jesus get the glory, you understand? But you come to this school, and God told me to open this school for this reason, to share what he have done for me and how my infirmities and my inadequacies and my insufficiencies enable God to do what he want to do. If you think you know it all, you're going to be trying to figure it out, calculate a lot of stuff, and just going to mess things all up. But if you yield to the Spirit of God, and I don't know if you ever heard, the foolishness of faith. I mean, there's three, 5,000 with five loaves. That's plumb foolish. Scatter and you increase. That's plumb foolish, isn't it? In the natural. Now what? Water turned to wine in John chapter 2. It said Jesus was at a wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine. Then Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to him, "Whatsoever he tell you to do, do it." Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pot with water." Now, whatsoever he says to you, do it. That's one of my mottos, whatsoever he says to you, do it. And I've used this many times without any natural evidence or natural proof that it was going to work, but I had him. So you're going to have to build yourself to the point. Now, you can't be bringing some stuff from your mind, thank God told you to do it. You got to be in the spirit because Satan will tell you something. But Romans 8:16 will take care of that. Spirit bear witness with my spirit. All right? And there's a spirit in man that receives inspiration from the Almighty. But here, they need wine. He told them water. Water? Is it not wine that they asked for? Yes. But, now listen to it. They heeded Mary's counsel, and so they began to pour water into the water pot. Now watch what happened. When this was done, he told them to draw it out. He told them to do something else. And go, now this take, because you might get killed here. Now you're going to go ahead and somebody get a wine and turn out to be water. Somebody's going to jump on you. And sometimes you got to do it though. You just got to do what he tell you to do and trust him to take care of you. Somewhere between them drawing that thing out and going to where that people was, it turned into wine. When they were done, he told them to draw it out and go and give it to the chairman of the occasion. They foolishly, here we go, that's fate, went ahead to do just that without minding what the chairman would say. Oh, look what happened, class. The chairman took a sip and said, "Wow, Where did you get this much better wine from? See, fate always produced much better. He asked why they kept it until now. And they were not ashamed to fetch the water, so God was not ashamed to fulfill his word. They were not ashamed to fetch the water. Class, God was not ashamed to fulfill his word. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, because the gospel will make it seem like it's going to make you shameful. That's why Jesus was able to go to the cross. He wasn't ashamed because he knew people were laughing at him, making fun at him, but he knew his assignment, and he knew he had God's backup. And that's what we have to have in unlimited ministry, unlimited living. God will provide everything in overflow for you. And that's what I want you to learn in this school, how to have unlimited ministry, how to attend to it in faith and operate in the fullness of God. Yes. You know, people are ashamed of God. You think he's irrational, that he has no understanding of current events. You know that, right? You know, some people think that God don't understand what's going on. They think the instruction of scriptures are outdated. Don't you ever get that? And that the churches need to upgrade themselves with modernism and liberalism, you know? Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. They want the church to start doing dances that is vulgar, really. And it's actually dancing off church music, but they're dancing a worldly dance. See, we cannot let that in the church. You see, faith never get foggy. Faith never get old. Faith works the same way. There are some changes you can make, but changes that violate, I say for instance, Claire, I'm going to talk to you about this. I watched a man preaching. He took his phone, iPhone out of his pocket and read his text and put it back in. Two preachers standing behind him had iPads texting the text. Now here's what I'm trying to get over to minister. Always keep a Bible with you. Satan is getting his tail whooped in here every time you read it. In an iPhone or iPad, Satan right there with you, because right in there you got all the vulgarism and all the stuff right there. It's something about having a Bible. They're trying, see, my wife and I was talking, what Satan's trying to do is take the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, which was written by men, divinely moved by the Holy Ghost, take the actual Bible out. He's trying to take it out for convenience. But see, when you look up a text, it gives you time for conviction. And so you need to always have a written Bible in ministry. I'll tell you this, I'll tell, not many people talking about this because it says foggyism, because you can have your iPad, you can get the Amplified Bible, and you can get all the different translations. Work it out another way, or you can have it with you, but always have your Bible to preach from. That's what I want to happen from this school. Let me close here because I want you to see this. You know, people are ashamed of God. They think he's irrational, that he has no understanding of current events. They think the instruction of scriptures are outdated, that the church need to upgrade them, upgrade in scripture. But I'm glad to let you know that the foolishness of faith is the winning ticket in the race of life. You got that? Whatever God tells you to do, no matter how crazy it may appear, believe it and show that you believe it by doing it. When you do it, you have committed him to perform. Then your mockers will turn around to envy you. Then we're going to go on, class, blind eyes was open by the foolishness of faith, multitude of fishes, the mystery of many things. Naaman, leprosy was cleansed, a virgin get pregnant. All of that is in the line of the foolishness of faith. I'll see you at the next class.